Again, we are now, Father, near the second half of 2005, and the sins of yours, Lord, over the world, they are waiting, Lord God, in great anticipation for thy return. And through the Lord in our heart, there is a great expectation, Lord. Truly a great expectation for our Lord to return again, Father. To make and set everything right in this world of chaos. And Lord, we are thankful that today while we can be here in this manner, getting ourselves together in the wonderful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and sitting under thy very feet and to learn of you. We are here, Father, to judge ourselves. Coming to that place, Lord, that we can always look at ourselves, Father, in thy word. We are not here, Father, Lord, to judge ourselves as to condemn ourselves. But if no man condemn us, Lord, we know neither would you. For all our sins are placed under the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah.
And we are grateful, Lord, this morning, even as we come before Thee. Look at us, at ourselves, Lord, in Thy Word. Though we may see through it a glass darkly, Lord, that we know. By the revelation of Thy Word, by the Spirit that lighten up, Lord, the very truth of life, we can see who we are. And we are thankful, Lord, that we have come to this revelation, come to this understanding, Lord, of who is our Lord Jesus Christ. And our relationship with you, Father, is all important in our life and in thy sight. And we pray, Father, Lord, that you just be with us today now and take away all our any hindrances, Lord, that comes to mind. And any feeling, Lord Jesus, that might disturb us at this hour of the time. And even in this period of the chronology, Lord, of your time, when the saints of God are getting ready and being prepared, being made ready as a wife for the coming of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, Lord, grant us that great assurance that peace, that truth, Lord, that would always remain steadfast in the foundation of God's Word. And then, Lord, once we held on to that fast and let no man take it away from us, then, Lord, we are overcomers. And we thank you for that your strength is with us and your Spirit is in your presence, in your Word. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray that you bless us now. Amen. All right, quickly now we try to finish off on that subject. Who am I? As to that one foundation of God's Word, we have on still the main text of 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10 to 11. We can always better to read from verse 5, actually, it's so that we can get a thought. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos? But ministers by whom you believe, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planted anything, neither he that watered, but God that gave the increase. Now he that planted and he that watered are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. You are God's husbandry. You are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another built thereon. But let every man take heed how he built thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man laid upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's word shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built, thereupon he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You know, when you read about laboring, Paul talks about here, first talk about, like in a vineyard, about planting, watering. Next moment he talks about building. You know, that's the way the Hebrew express themselves from one type to another type. And at the same time, all this type that Paul was showing was to give a picture. And you know one thing, we can talk about collaborating with God. I said this over in Paul's epistle in the book of Ephesians. Paul said we are God's workmanship. God is working a work in us and through us. He worked a work in our life, yet that our work that He works in us, being that we are collaborators with Him, remember, we are to please also others who come in contact with us. Because we are building something in other people's lives. We are not building for ourselves. So as Paul said here, then whether a person watered or plant, they are all one. Whether you sow the seed, whether you plant, you water, or you, what we call, aerate the soil, we are all one. Nobody is greater than anybody else. And we see this case too where, you know, James and John's mother came up to Jesus Christ and asked Christ to have his son sit on one side, on both sides of him when he comes to his kingdom. But Jesus said, it's not for me to give, it's for my Father. And it's true enough that a lot of people want to have a certain position. But in Jesus, He said, the first shall be the last, and the last shall be the first. And here Paul said it very clearly. Whether we plant, water, whether we aerate, whatever we do, we are all one. Because here Paul is saying over in the verse in verse 8 that every man will receive his own reward according to his own labor. It is God who gives this reward, not based upon our success, I said this before, but based upon our laboring. Our achievement is not based on how successful we are, like in the world of entrepreneurship. When a man had struggled in his life with a few thousand dollars and built up to a multi-million dollar business, and said that is a success. But in Jesus, in God, when He look at us, He doesn't look at how successful we have been, how big a big fellowship you have, or how much have you sold as to build a big empire, or big kingdom, or big churches, or denial organization, whatever it may be. But God is looking at how you labor. He says, He will reward every man according to his own labor, according to how he work. And how can we work unless we yield to the Lord? Because remember, Paul said in Ephesians, we are God's workmanship. And we can never work a work until, as Jesus said, that you believe on Him whom He sent. Now my emphasis on this one foundation as to who am I is, if we recognize who Jesus is, what shall you do with this man called the Christ? The foundation of the world was laid, as Paul would say over in verse 11, no other foundation can any man lay than which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. God had laid this foundation from the beginning of the world, before the world was. He had already laid that foundation. Without that foundation, no matter how you labor, you will labor in vain. No matter what, you know, Brother Joe asked me to go to visit his father-in-law, my sister and his father, because he having a terminate, last stage of cancer that already spread, and he wanted to receive the Lord Jesus. And because, of course, his family from the background with some of the other sibling of children being Buddhist, you know, so there is a problem between trying to get the father to be continue to be a Buddhist, or you know his father's choice wanting to be a Christian. So there is always this struggle. So now it is not religion. I told him it is not religion that he needs. You can have. Christianity has a religion. But still do you no good. Religion cannot save. Religion is a ritual. Something that you believe in. Something that you follow. And hopefully that in the end of it, you have salvation. On Buddhism, in the end of it, you reach Nirvana. Or whatever it may be, in every other religion. And I emphasize to him that you need a Savior. You don't need Christianity. You need a Savior. So when we recognize the foundation of life is Christ Jesus, then can God work a work in your life. When you recognize Christ Jesus as the foundation of your life, even as to the whole universe and the whole earth being created, the Bible said, all things were created for Him and by Him. Is that right? Colossians said that. And the other religion, they don't know how this universe come about. They have no idea where man came from, how man came to exist. But we know the answer. Not because of the scripture, but because of that one man called Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God manifest. Is that right? Huh? And I said this, we all know that there are three witnesses. The first is the Son, which God displayed in heaven to show mankind the beginning and the end. Man could not comprehend the star easily. Then he put the gospel in stone, which is the pyramid, which was hidden as a mystery, because many tried to understand it, but couldn't understand it in full. That thirdly, God put the gospel in written words, so that every man can read it. But yet, when any man read it, they still could not understand. Is that right? Not easy to understand the star, not easy to understand the stone, the pyramid, and not easy to understand the Bible. There are a lot of people that take the Bible and read it, and even in school, they have religious knowledge. They study the Bible, but that is just only as if it is a literature or book to learn, to get a subject, pass a subject for their school certificate, whatever it is. That's all what they do. But it takes the man himself, who is the fullness of God's word, to reveal God's ultimate intention for you and for me. If Jesus Christ did not come, remember the Old Testament scripture was already written. Is that right? When he came, he said, in the volume of the book, it is written of me. In the volumes of the books, it is written of me. And yet, you see, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious Jew, they read the scripture. Every Sabbath, they go to the synagogue or to the temple, and they heard it read. Is that right? But they could not comprehend. So it takes the fulfillment of this written word, the stones in the pyramids and the stars. It takes the man to come and manifest that in the volume of the books in the sky, the star speaks of him. In the volume of those stones in the pyramids speaks of him. In the volume of the books in the written word speaks of him. So he came and he manifests. Is that right? And Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So therefore, no matter what we look at, we need to have this foundation. We need to know, who am I? As Jesus asked the question, who do you think I, the Son of Man, am? If we don't have this revelation, brother and sister, about who this man is, then you don't have the life. Then you do not even begin know how to begin to build up your life, so to speak. You may build up your life, of course, in your profession, in your career, or in your family life as a mother with many children and look forward to grandchildren or maybe great-grandchildren. Huh? Or be alive to be some great somebody, a dignitary, a well-known a businessman. Today, people know Bill Gates. Is that right? People know Steven Spielberg. Oh, like George Lucas, because of all this successful organization that they have created. You see? And Sim Wong Hoo in Singapore, people know him. You mentioned that name, young people probably know him. Is that right? Isn't it? So, this may be your success. But what about the life that is at the end of the journey? So until we have this foundation, we would not know how to build. Going over right now here then in verse 10, according to the grace of God which is given unto me. Remember, Paul said in the book of Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourself. It is a gift of God. You don't have any faith at all to begin with as far as the revelation of Christ is concerned. It is God that gives us this revelation, this faith, to see by His grace who Jesus Christ is. Right? You know, you can go to school and you study the Bible. Like theologian, like Bible school student, they study the Bible, study the Bible. You know, they can be preacher. By the time they get old, in the 50, 60, 70 years old, they find, oh, well, maybe this Bible is not applicable in my life after all. And to him, it's laboring in vain, because in the first place, he doesn't know who he is. You know, there are people, like just, I just wonder, there are a lot of people who study, he goes to university, study civil engineering or electrical engineering, whatever it is, when they come out to be doctors. And then those who have studied, you know, medicine, come out to be engineers, something like that. You know what I'm saying? So they don't seem to know where their place is until they are, it's later in life. So there are a lot of Christians today the same. A lot of people go to church and even preachers and whatever they are, and then later in life they say, oh, maybe I've got to change my religion. And there are a lot of people that change their religion. Because they think that Christianity is just a religion. No, to me, to you, it is not a religion. It's a personal relationship with the one and only Yahweh, Yahshua. The one who led his heaven and earth and have a foundation for us. A foundation which we have a relationship with him. A foundation that we can begin to grow and have a meaningful life. Isn't it so? This life on this earth will have no meaning for me and for you. If all that we have to go through is growing up, going to school, struggling to earn a living, get married, and have all the headaches in life and all the stresses in life, and grow old, and that's it. Retirement, he said. Make sure that you have, you save for a retirement. You know, sometimes you go to the bank, you see all those posters. I look at it, God, disturb me a little bit, you know. Have you saved enough for your retirement? $250,000 is not enough. Sure, $250,000 is not enough. You need at least $1 million. By the time you retire, 70 years old, live another 20 years, 90 years, $1 million is what you need. In Singapore, you know. You know what I mean? They're going to disturb people. They say, do you have enough for your retirement? And want to get people to invest in these things. So what then? You retire 70 years. Now, Singapore, of course, want people to work. The government want people to work until, I don't know how old, they came on 35, but Brother Joe is 45 and I'm in the police. He's 45, then 50, 55, then now he's 60, 65. I think he's 65 now. They want people to work. And you see a lot of elderly people all working because Singapore and too many old folks. And then what happened? You retire, okay, you retire 70 years old. You live now 20 years old to 90 years old. Good old age. Then what? What is that retirement? Is that your success? Even though you have multi-million dollar in the bank, is that your success in life? You know, you labor for what is not meat. You labor for what is not meat. And that's, you know, why I can tell you one thing. You know, I'm so glad to be a child of God. I'm so glad that Christ opened my eye. He gave me that grace to show me that I'm a sinner, that I need Him, and that only when I have Him as the foundation, then can I be built up. You see? And that's the reason why when I know Him, by following what He said, by the very simplicity of the Word of God, without any theological interpretation from denomination, organization, very simple. What can we do the work of God? The disciples first asked that question. The Jew that were with Him also asked that question. Those that were following Jesus heard Him preach for so long, they want to know the answer. And Jesus said, this is the work of God that you believe on Him whom He sent. You know, because God, and I began to realize how wonderful it is, God is doing a work in us. He is doing a work in us. Not that we are doing something, it is Him doing a work. And we must cease from our struggling, because He is working a work, and all we have to do is to yield and surrender. And follow what He said. You know? What can I do for you, Lord? What can I do for you, Lord? There was a song, you know, about the Lord was looking for somebody to go and minister the word in some place. And the song said, Lord, send me. You know, the person who wrote it said, Lord, send me. You know, God can send you or me until first of all we recognize what God is doing. And we thank God because of this revelation that He gave to us through a messenger. That we must come out of darkness. Come out from denominationalism. Come out from mystery Babylon. Come out from chaos. You know Babylon means what, isn't it? You know Babylon means chaos. Babylon came from the word that goes back to Nimrod. Baal. False prophet, Baal, B-E-L. Chaos, also. And when you see that, no wonder why the Bible uses mystery. It's not referring to the city of Babylon, literal, but refer to the mysterious city of Babylon that started all this confusion, which was Vatican City. And so when we have that, we can see how that the world of Christianity that, well, runs around the Bible, so to speak, it's all in a mess. So we need to come out of this. And we thank God for this message to get us out from this darkness into the light of God's Word and His simplicity. And yet today, I'm sad to say, and always been that way, for all these years that since the prophet died, the people, many, have still not come back to the Word of God. They're still hanging around just saying what the prophet said, not knowing that the Bible is the very light, the very truth, the very foundation of the Word of God that was revealed to us in Christ Jesus, that we must need to come back. If we don't come back to this, we don't have that. And you are here, sitting here today. We are sitting in the presence of God. They give us this revelation to see this world of truth. That this is our foundation. And when we recognize it, and when we go into it, God began to unfold it to us. As how important that foundation is. Anytime you give ear to the left or to the right, you went off track. Is that right? And we thank God that when we see Christ, Christ could show us in simplicity that if you want to do the Word of God, forget it, He's trying to tell you. He never told the Jew, the Pharisees, or the disciple that asked Him this question to do certain things. He said, no, you just believe. You know, all it takes is only believe. Everything is just to believe. Isn't it? We're not doing any work. All the work that we're good for, God. Me preaching, Brother Jim and Jackie packing the work, the books, Brother Sung doing what he did on all you playing the instruments, and you all give your tithes to the ministry. All this work, in the eyes of God, it has its value. That's all. But it cannot replace, or it cannot be put above the simplicity of being obedient to the Word of God. Only believe. Believe on Him whom He sent. And then God began to work. Because how can we know the truth if God did not send a preacher? That's his own why Paul said, how can they hear and say a preacher be sent? Huh? And when God sent a preacher and he's a man of God, you believe on him. If he's a man of God, he preaches the truth, you believe on him. And you follow the Word of God. When the Word of God comes to us, we follow. That's what Paul said, we move from glory to glory to glory. And I thank God all this year that He has given us this truth. To see how important it is to move from one stage to another. I know we have got many years to go. We're watching what is going to happen in the world. Just watching. The Bible says, watch and pray. Huh? In supplication to the Lord. We are watching what's going to develop. You see? And if you know, if you remember the tsunami that happened last year, or was it last year? No, last year. Now I forgot. Because 911 seemed to be not very far away, it seems. But 911 was quite some years back. But you know what happened when there was a tsunami? Did you read the report? Did you see what the scientists said about that earthquake, the biggest that they ever had recorded? That the earth actually moved like a bell. It being, you know, when it boing, it goes like this. You know, and it slowed down by, I think, 3 seconds or something like that. What the rebel writes about 1 inch over the wall on the average. Wow. You think about it. What will happen now last night? Did you hear last night on the news? That the scientists in Japan, they discover another tectonic plate under Tokyo. And they said the big one is overdue for Tokyo. They expect like something, I don't know how many thousand would die when it strikes. They find another tectonic plate, one plate upon another. They thought that the plate that they had was the one that they share with the Philippines. But now they found another one. You just imagine it. And we have earthquake, so many earthquakes now in Sumatra, in that area. He's pushing that plate tighter. I can say one thing, he's pushing all that plate all the way to California. And it's going to go. If Japan had a big one, I can tell you next one is going to go to Alaska, North America, and down on the west coast to the Andes mountain on the South America. You think the time that we are living in? I'm just watching the scenario. You know, I'm just saying, Lord, how are you going to play this out? How are you going to bring it to a climax? See? Oh, we're shaking and trembling. The Bible, you know, Paul in those days, oh my, almost 2,000 years ago, huh? Paul saw all this by revelation, you know. And he talked about the earth trembling. You know what is trembling? Like a woman trembling to give birth. That means the earth is being moved. You know how the baby starts to move inside the mother's womb? Just imagine that the womb of the woman is the earth. And the baby inside there is moving to get out, to be released. So the earth has to come to that stage. My oh my. And I'm thankful that God give us this truth. That I have been building myself on the Word of God since I left the denomination. I didn't look back. I didn't look back all these years when I came out. I lost all my friends. I lost all those whom I knew in the assemblies of God. And though when you meet them on the road, they snap at me, you know, and think that I call me a false cult, following a false cult, and I was in a false cult. Yeah. And I have many enemies in denomination. Those who know me, met me. I'm like false preacher to them. But as far as I'm concerned, if I'm back in the Word of God, if things can be proven by the Word of God, even as God revealed to it, you verifies it, I'm satisfied. And I always tell them, you prove me one place where I'm wrong. That if I cannot show you the scripture, then I'm saying I'm wrong. Somebody wrote me an email asking me two questions about the original sin. When he asked the question, I wrote back to him and said, please read my book again. It seems that he doesn't read it and study it with all the scriptures that were given in the book. And asked questions that were already answered in the book. And you know, I have received a couple of letters like this. Now this book, the original sin, have been printed many times. I think we have printed, maybe it's, I don't know whether it's some 40,000 copies going out now with all the tape. You know, just the original sin alone. And many letters that comes in, they said they understood. But there are quite a number two that comes in, which is not as many as those who could see it, are those who actually said that they could not understand. And they start asking questions. And the question they asked was actually in the book itself. Now that's the thing when people, as Jesus said, they hear not. And we need to take heed what we hear and how we hear. When Jesus said, you believe on him whom he sent, he's talking about preacher whom God sent. Not any Tom, Dick, and Harry preacher out there in the world just because they have a PhD. Is that so? The one whom God sent in the 20th century, a man without education. And that is what buffered all these ministers. Huh? And even to this day, can't they see the simplicity of it all, that God, when he called a man to preach, he doesn't need education. Huh? You think John the Baptist went to a theological school? Peter, John, James, and John. But you can say, oh, they were trained under Jesus. Yeah, I understand. What about John? What about Paul, who was trained and said, all those things are counted as dunk? Yet the Bible said it, and they know it's true, yet they still want to have Bible school and train them. Why? Because they are making organization. They want the people whom they go to, they control to preach what they want to be preached and to bring it out. But where is that foundation? The foundation in Methodism, Baptism, Presbyterianism, Pentecostalism, whatever Bible school that you are in. You will preach that ism. So we are have this foundation here that it is by God's grace that God give us a certain gift. But the most important gift that God gives to every one of us, you cannot deny that you don't have one, or else you won't be sitting here. And that gift that God gives is the gift of faith to recognize that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God. He is that foundation. Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter can't say that. And Jesus said, you can't say it because you are a Jew, or because you have been with me, or because you studied the scripture. No. It is my Father in heaven. He revealed to you. If it wasn't God revealed to us, you would be lost. Are the laws. Is that right? So we thank God for that truth. And as Paul said in verse 10, continuing that, as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation and now I build that on, let him take it how you build that upon. No, but other foundation can no man lead. And then that which is laid, which is Christ. Now, verse 10, the last part, let every man take it how he build that upon. And I said this is very important once again, let me emphasize. Every man take heed how he built thereupon. When you build upon the foundation of the Word of God, remember, your life is going to affect other people. When you labor and build as God guides you, remember, it is not for yourself. Do you know that? God is working a work in your life, remember? He's working a work in your life to perfect you, but yet working in you and also through you that it will affect other people. Isn't it not true? Think about it. You see, when I look at Betty Hinn claiming to have the gift, but you see the work that he was doing affect many people's lives in the negative. A lot of people are deceived, you know what I mean, into believing that he was a real, genuine man of God. And that whatever he had, whatever he taught, was from God. If God wants to work in my life, and through me, to you would, then you've got to have an influence on you, to lift you up, to get the knowledge of the one and only Lord in Christ Jesus. Is that right? If God worked the work in me to you would, but yet I pull whatever you have for myself, the money, whatever it may be, the fame, the fortune, whatever I can get, then I fail. Isn't it? Think about it. And this ministry that God gave, if any ministry is called of God, it will be a humble ministry, as Bob Graham said. It will be so humble. Few times over the world, when I go, Brother always asks me, Brother Graham, how big is your congregation? He always made me smile. How big is the congregation? Do you have a nice church building? He said, no, I don't have a church building. They couldn't believe. When the first thing I told them, I don't have a church building. Said, we don't have a church building. Then why do your people fellowship? I said, well, we just fellowship in homes. Back then. Homes? How big is the home? Said, you know. And then, they said, how big is your congregation? I told them we have about 30. And they couldn't believe it. They couldn't believe it. Because you see, first of all, people tend to think that when a man can travel and minister overseas and recognize as an international preacher, he must have a big congregation. God does not need to have a big congregation. All God needs is a sincere and humble heart. And every one of you here who have played your part, being sincere and humble, to believe what God is doing in your life, to give to God what belongs to God. And I know some of you give above the tithes. You see. There were many men of God in the past who before they were called to do a ministry, they were men who lived a very comfortable life, earned several thousand a month. But when they go out to ministry, they just live with just a little. The rest of the money that they have, they give it out. You know? And this is the kind that God honors. And even as Brother Branham said, you cannot, as a minister, you cannot live above the people in material things. You must live above the people in spiritual things. Else you cannot be a preacher. Else you cannot be a minister. You think about a preacher who lived luxuriously. Man, like all these charismatic preachers, they have cars and all these jet planes. Benny Hinn had his own jet plane. Huh? Live very luxuriously. Well, the reason is that God give it to me. God's a millionaire. But your life is going to affect other people. When a poor sees that you are rich, they say, wow, how could you be rich and I'm poor? And they could not accept that. Do you see that? When God builds, everything is in a state of humility. Paul, Peter, they were not great show-offs, you know, dramatizing, like Benny Hinn, like all these modern preachers in America. Huh? And you see, Brother Bram, when he came over to the stage and when he began to minister, he was a humble person. Huh? There's no great showmanship. He just stand there, he preached. When he prayed for a person, he just prayed. Without all the hullabaloo thing, you know, all of the shouting and all this thing. Do you think that Jesus started to shout and yell and everything? No. You see. Sure, when you shout and you sing, that was worshipping the Lord. When you cast out the devil, you don't have to yell at the devil. You think he's deaf? That's a lot of showmanship that is being on display. And there's no humility in it. Christ can't walk among the common people and nobody recognizes him. Huh? They touch him, they push him. But when the rabbi, the Pharisees, priest walking down into the market, everybody know who he was, who he is. Because he drives in a religious cup. Everybody has to make way away from him. Nobody wants to touch his garment. Because they're supposed to be sacred. You see. Isn't it? You see how the contrast is today? You look at all this grandeur of the Pope in Vatican City, the Romanism. Everything is, wow, their robe is well ironed. You know what I mean? So neat and sparkling, glorious, very grand. God is not in this thing. See? So who am I? Well, He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we recognize Him and He teach us to take heed to the word that He sent. And how can you hear the word except you believe on Him whom He sent? So gradually as time comes, we realize then throughout the church ages, one after another, God sent His messenger. And the prophet came and He's gone. The fivefold ministry worked today. And in the fivefold ministry, there are men that are anointed to bring the word. And we have to accept what God gives. And learn. But today, still the same as always will be. There are people with opinionated mind. Because they believed the man. One thing for sure. We must not build upon a man other than Christ Jesus. What happened when you start building upon a man of God? The Lutheran, you get the Lutheranism. Wesley's follower, Methodism. Campbellite, Baptism. They're all there, Zwingli, all these are in the past. Somebody will come up with something, and that's why we have what we have today. Isn't it so? And when we have that which God gives to us, neither can we build it upon ourselves. When you start building upon yourself, then you are the only one that is right. Everybody else is wrong. And you know what Paul said? Not all men be a lie, but God's the truth. The truth is in Christ. The truth is not in Branham. The truth is not in me, neither in Wesley, neither in John the Baptist. For all men are lying. I said, God be the truth. So everything that way is to fall back upon the word. Fall back upon the word. And so Brother Abraham said, whatever I said is not in the word of God. Don't you believe it. It has got to be the word. Is that right? No other way. Because he is our foundation. Alright. As to verse 10, you know, in verse 12 onwards, fortunately that is true. Many are not building a building with quality material. And when it's burned, the wood, the hay, the stubble are the things that will be burned off. The stubble will be the first to go, the hay will be the second to go, the wood will be the third to go. But the gold, silver, precious stone, they will be stood fire. So when you labor, you don't build with the right materials. Yep, as Paul said, well, the word will suffer loss, but yet a person will still be saved. Yet so as by fire. And by fire as by trial and tribulation. That's true. Some people will want to have to go through a tribulation to be purged. You understand? Now, revelation is for the inner man. Revelation is not for any other thing or for some sensation to get elated and get excited. Revelation is for the inner man. But the one revelation that we need is always that one foundation. When we see Christ, He will always be the revelation. And He will be able to guide us from time to time to move from glory to glory. Is that right? Not that we want something else supernatural. No, what other revelation are we going to get? It is God's own good pleasure to give it to us when the time comes. And I always believe this. You can never come to the revelation until you come to a certain place and a certain time. And a certain thing, certain doctrine, certain revelation can never be revealed until the time comes. You believe it or not, it's up to you. Huh? You understand that? You cannot be preached until the time comes. And that's the reason why the seal can never be revealed until the time comes for it to be revealed. Robert could not preach it before 63. Try as he might. He studied it, you know, and he mentioned it in some of his sermons before 63. But not later on when the Spirit came and revealed it, he said, oh, I was wrong on this, right? Sure. Sure. Because he was a prophetic student too. He studied the Word of God, and he even had Clarence Larkin's book to guide him along as he studied. You see. So we as preachers too, we all, whether you are apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, whatever you are, we have to learn. We have to study too. You see, Paul would be a hypocrite if he taught Timothy to study the Word of God, the woman, and then not be ashamed when he himself doesn't even do that. Isn't it? You see, so we need to have. Let's look at Proverbs 11. Alright, Proverbs 11, verse 24-25. There is that scattered and yet increase. And there is that withhold more than is meet, but it tend to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, but he that watered shall be watered also himself. That's every individual. We don't look and depend upon a leader. I mean, yeah, God sent a leader to lead. But we cannot always be so dependent upon a leader. And that's why we have in this entire message, the problem is that nobody else can interpret the scripture except Brother Branham. He's a leader. And that's why some people don't even have a pastor in the church. They just come together, put on a tape of Brother Branham, behold your pastor, Brother Branham, and they listen to the tape. They are so dependent upon a leader, even the leader is dead. Who is our leader? Where is our leadership? Wasn't it not the Holy Spirit? Is it not the Holy Spirit? Isn't it not? That's why when we talk about the foundation, it's the person. It's not about, oh, the resurrection. It's not about, oh, about life itself, or love, or the gospel. It's about the person himself. He is our all in all. Everything that we need is in him. And that's why we have it in him. Even as Job said, he that scattered and yet increased. He that withhold, what more is meant, thank you, probably. You know, yeah, I'm so glad to you know. I thank God for every one of you here who have been faithful towards this ministry. You have scattered freely what God has given you. And yet you never lead to poverty. Isn't that so? You have, you know, as true as the Bible said, give and it shall be given unto you. Well, not the way that Benny Hinn and all these charismatic are preaching. Huh? He give 100, God give 1,000. No, no, it's not that. Huh? Give and it shall be given to you. In many other forms, God give it to you. And the most wonderful thing is that God have never forsaken us with the word. Huh? Do you know there is a famine, a spiritual famine throughout the world for the hearing of God's word? You know this brother in California? He came across a website now for about some a year now and was looking forward to meet me. You know, I said, oh, Brother Gunn, please, you let me know when you are here in California, you know, and I want to bring you to my fellowship there, you know, the pastor. Well, you know, he's a better mind, but he's open, willing to open the church to anyone who could believe the message. You know, maybe you can preach something there. You know? And he's asking a lot of questions. And you know, when he asks questions, you know that this poor chap had been a Christian, a believer, for five or six years, and know nothing. And let me tell you something. Believe me. And check it out and see if it's true. Those other brethren in the other churches, sit with them and talk with them. How much do they know about the Bible? I can guarantee you that. They won't know much about it. Here I am doing is to stimulate you folks, brother and sister, into the Word of God. I can exhort you and edify you to eat this word all the time. Isn't it? My duty is to feed you the word. So that you will not be in poverty. So that you will not say, oh, this dry land here we walk, we don't have any food. Sister, there are Kenyan sister in Kenya. You know, when I went there last year, she was so happy. Because the church where he attended, the pastor was very much leaned towards Pentecostalism. So finally, now last 2-3 months ago, they couldn't take it. A few of the people laughed, but they wanted to get another brother to start a fellowship in the home. He was not felt led of God. So I encouraged him. And she told me, she wrote me, she said, "Brother Gang, I'm so dry. I don't know what a fellowship, I'm so frustrated. I cry all the time. She don't know where to take the food. The church is going where the pastor was. Pastor is always about Pentecostalism, leaning towards that. Nothing much about the Word of God. You stand Pentecostalism, you get Pentecostal preaching. And that's all of it you have." Then she went to a church at a Seven Thunder group. You know. And that's become even more dangerous to know something which is not true. Do you see? Tell us, why is it so important for us to need to get out what we have to others? Now this year, I guess I've got to travel more than any other time before. You understand? So when you begin to scatter, and yet you get increased, for those who withhold, they will never have anything. You know, withhold, one thing is that some people withhold to hear. Do you know that? Do you know what I'm saying? They withhold their ear from hearing. But years ago when I was in Malawi, the church pastor called me to preach. I stood up there and preached only 5 minutes and asked me to sit down. And he began to speak about Brother Branham being the absolute. When I said Brother Branham was not the absolute, he asked me to sit down. Because he believed Brother Branham was the absolute. Withhold his people from hearing. Withhold his ear from hearing. What happened to him now? He is in spiritual poverty. You come against the Word of God. You come against the truth of God. You are finished. Because why? You don't have a foundation. You have nothing. But you have stubble. Do you know what I'm saying? But you need to build upon the foundation of the Word of God, the footings which the apostles laid for us. These are the words that we have. The apostles' doctrine. Isn't it? And we need to build on it. We need to have a ear to hear. The why Paul said so important. It is so important for us not to forsake ourselves in the assembling of ourselves together. And some say, "Oh, we don't have to." We need to. Because if you don't, the devil comes around. It's going to play on your mind. "Oh yeah, but we need to come together once a week and hear the tape." That's not it. That's not it. You can hear your tape on other weekdays when you're alone. Otherwise, you know what happened? You don't have a true ministry. You don't have that ministry which God set in the body. And I say this 100% of my time, of the time, that the church of the living God can never be perfected except by the fivefold ministry that God sent. Like it or not. Don't believe me? Come with me to the Philippines and see how the ministry has shaped the life of many believers there. Think about it. There were those in Ephesus. They even know nothing about the Holy Ghost. Baptism. Never heard anything about the Holy Ghost. They were believers of the gospel that John preached then, right? Why did God send Paul over there? And I said, it's not believed if there is any group that is in the world that is the true church of living God. It's called God. They would have access to the apostolic ministry and teaching. By ways of tape, by ways of the gospel, literature form, or whatever. You think about it. The people need to know the balance and how to lay their life in the Word of God. Not what this one said, not what that one said, with all the opinions that they have. God do not need our opinion. Alright, so we need to bring our life with God's Spirit. And as co-laborer with the Lord. Otherwise, we find ourselves in the book of Matthew chapter 7, which we are all familiar with. verse 24 to 28. Therefore, whosoever hear this saying of mine and doeth them, I will liken him a wise man which built his house upon a rock. Any man who heareth this saying of mine and doeth them. Do this saying of mine and do them. What saying? Now you go to the above, verse 21, 22, 23. Not every man that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter in the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Is that right? Huh? You can cast up devil, you can do a miracle work, whatever it is. But you don't do the work of God according to His will, then you are not building your house upon a rock. Right? If you want to collate all the saying of Jesus Christ in the Bible, you will notice the consistency of how in simplicity He bring it out about believing on Him. And yet believing on Him is by what people see, by the work that He had done, because this thing testified of Him. And then, you cannot know who He is, except by the Spirit of the living God, that God give it to you to understand who He is. And that you are to believe on the word that His preacher preached to you, because He sent them. Is that right? Because these are the word that He is working in your life, by the word. Remember the importance of the word and the work? It is the work of God that we hear that works in our life if we can receive it. This is the will of God. The word is His will to work in our life. You see? So if we take heed to the word of God, the will of God, and let God work in us by believing what He revealed to us and follow it, that's how God works in us. Then we are in His will. Then we have heard the His saying, and then we work it out as wise men that are building the house upon the rock. And let the rain come, let the flood comes, let the wind blow, let it beat upon the house. It will fall not, because it was built upon a rock. Otherwise, those that hear, yep, Jesus said, yes, I know that, but you know, they won't follow. You know, this is what it is. Who are the foolish virgin? Still to many people, in the meantime message, the foolish virgin are still out there in the charismatic Pentecostal. That's what I taught the first time, years ago. But I realize it is not that. Because in the book of Matthew, it tells us very clearly that the messenger came and says, behold, the bridegroom cometh, come out to meet him. And these wise and foolish virgin, they came out. Do you think the Pentecost and charismatic, you know, they came out? No, they still are in the system. They didn't come out. Huh? The foolish virgin are those that came out. But they don't have the wisdom of hearing the word, how to hear the word, and take it to what to hear, and to follow the word, to point them to the word. Do you see that? What is the Spirit of God lies in? What does the Spirit of God live? He lives in His own word. He lives in the word. So do you know when you hear the word of God, if you really have this, you receive the word in your heart, and you have the Spirit of God to hear it and receive it, then you will do according to what the word said. Huh? Some people hear the word that came out, but you know, when they receive, they cannot comprehend as to do what is required for them to do. And they don't do it the way that it was said to them to do. Look at Jesus Christ. What He told them, what He preached. The people heard it, but how many of them hear it with the Spirit in their heart? And ready to receive it. Nicodemus is one great example. Huh? Sure. But look at all these other Pharisees. The first thing they do is that they begin to judge Jesus by their tradition. By their doctrine. Isn't that true? You try to preach this message to denomination. The first thing they do, they don't judge you. Go on the internet, you can see. William Branham. False prophet. Why? One, he do not believe in a Trinity. So, we are all false believers because we don't believe in the Trinity. How do they judge it? It's because traditional teaching said Trinity is real, when the Bible said Trinity is not real. You understand what I'm saying? But you judge not according to your own view and opinion. Judge according to the Word of God. That's why when all these come against me, I said, show me one place that I speak is wrong. Oh, but Brother Branham said. I know Brother Branham said. Do you understand what he said? Friday we were discussing, for those who are not here. And there was this brother email was forwarded to me. And I saw it and I knew it was a brother of mine. Asking a question. Why did God create Adam and Eve sexual organ? Why did God give Adam and Eve or create sexual organ for Adam and Eve? When I read that, I know it's a question that must be asked by a brother of mine, because this person who asked it must be one who believes in speaking the word to the dust of the ground to bring forth children. And truly enough, I was right. You know what? He goes on to say, when God told Adam to bring forth children by speaking of dust of the ground to create children, Adam would have no choice, because there is only one choice to do, and I mean there is a choice, there is no choice, there is to say. By speaking of dust, bring forth children, Adam had actually no choice. So God had to create something else to give him a choice between speaking the word to the dust or have sex. Do you see? So I was thinking, this man is off his rocker. Now think about it. Assuming that God did not give Adam a choice and did not create, because he's asking a question, that you say that Adam and Eve have no sexual organ, what would they have? Huh? If Adam and Eve have no sexual organ, would Eve be fat chested? So after all, you don't need breasts for milk, isn't it? Huh? Right? No sexual organ means to say, well, they'll be just like a frog with a croaker. You know what a croaker is? Like a hen, a chicken with a croaker. Where the feces and the urine come out from the same hole. You see, the mentality of people that try to make Brother Brown the man. Revelation is not from a man. Revelation is from God. You need to know, who am I first? And Jesus asked that question. Who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? That's what Peter, when he said, thou art the Christ, Son of the God. Jesus said, thou art Peter. Truly he was a rock. Jesus emphasized that you are called Peter because you are the one that get this revelation. And upon this revelation, upon this rock of who I am, I'll build my church. And Peter on the day of Pentecost was the one who took the key first and unlocked the kingdom for the souls to go in. You see that? You see how different your approach really is? Today, it is building upon, well, the Caliph built upon Peter. The Branham might build upon Branham. Brother and sister, there's only one foundation of who am I. If you still don't know who am I, then you'd be wrong. People start to ask, do you know who Brother Bam was? Do you know who he was? Do you know who Brother Bam? Have you heard about a prophet? Do you know who William Bam is? And all they talk about is this. You need to know, what would you do with a man called Christ? So otherwise, who will be bidding just like this? So as long as a man is centered in himself, his unregenerate heart will always be selfish. Everything is self-centered. And as I said this, we do not need to talk about revelation this, revelation that, but just the one person, Jesus Christ. And things will just continue to unfold itself. Amen? Alright, let's go to another verse of scripture quickly. Just bypass some of that. 2 Peter 3:18. 2 Peter 3:18. By growing grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. By growing grace. It's not a man of God. It's not yourself. It's God working and working our life. grace is added to us more and more each day. You know, the world is full of sin. More wicked today than you ever know. You just see the crazy thing on the news I heard. People are even taking pictures of baby and putting them, you know, take terrible pictures of baby. Did you know that in Korea? And there's a short one with something in this nostril of the baby sticking out. And then they take a picture. Then they make a picture of the baby with funny face and they take a picture, put all the tapes on the baby and then take pictures. You know, it is, they call it baby abused. The people are very wicked. And then you find another report in the news about all this lesbianism and a gay thing in the school and that and everything. What's the world coming to? You see boy holding a boy's hand, girl holding her's hand. You wonder whether they are whatever they are. Well, what's the world becoming? Terrible, isn't it? So, and here we have the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. And it's the grace that He gives us and the faith that we continue to go on, growing in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Growing in the knowledge. Well, I know you know the Lord Jesus Christ. The Christian knows the Lord Jesus, so does the devil. But the question is, do we grow in the knowledge of Him? Or just say, oh yes, I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior, He died for me. Is that all? We grow in the knowledge as to the plan and the purpose of God being revealed to us as His Word and His work in our life. And that's why He is building us up into the likeness of Christ. To come to that place where we are made ready. Yeah? First, you are a Christian. You come to the gospel. Yeah, just like somebody has sowed a seed. You know, before some farmers grow something, you know, put them in the field, they usually grow up in a small little patch. Seedlings. Yeah? Then they transplant. Isn't it? So the same thing we need to is to be transplanted right into the Word of God, real deep. Not just come to the Bible, the gospel. Yes, I'm a child of God, that's it. You know, I got spirit, I got tongue and so forth. And that's all about the God. But we need to be transplanted. Transplanted deep into the Word of God, and that's what we need to have. Colossians 3:9. Colossians chapter 3. Nine to ten. Lie not one to another, seeing that you put off the old man with his deed, but have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Just not all these natural things up here in my head, neither just natural thinking that you have in your head. We know that we are all human, but we all have five senses, isn't it? Yeah, we all have five senses. But we don't feed on these five senses. Spiritual men don't feed on them. And that's why we need to realize this. All this mentality, all this natural makeup, all this feeling and emotion, you know. Yeah, it's okay for you to get frustrated once in a while. Huh? Don't say that you're not allowed to. you get upset because you come, oh, I've got so much work to do. Ah. You know, when some people go to the bathroom and bang it, and a teacher who got all loads of words and go home and they cannot yell in the class because they want to be a good teacher, they go home and they yell in the bathroom. You know? That's alright, but the problem is that this is a soulish thing. Is that we tend to think of using these natural five senses as if they are spiritual thing when we come to the Word of God. No, it's not. It is a religious thing. You see, when you use the five senses and approach God, you are approaching Him religiously. Do you know that? And that's why number 54 is always filled with old folks when we take the bus from out in Scotch Road. The old folk. Because why? Right here is a temple, isn't it? Chinese temple. Today is Vasa Day. Buddhist. So you see all of them going over there. You know. So what did they do? It's religious. They approach the whole thing religiously. the Catholic, the Lutheran, the Anglican, especially in all those back in those days, with all that rituals and all that dress that they put on. What do you think I would look like if I come here all dressed in white, with my collar turning up inside out, huh? With long sleeve, you know what I mean? Do you think I look very good? And maybe to add it, to make it more interesting, I wear a big cross. Wow, you better believe it. It had an effect on you. If you are religious, right? But if I come in here dressing like that, you say, oh, what happened to Brother Gunn? He has gone broken. You see, because we know what religion is really. How it affects people. It's all emotional. You know, they try to approach God in their own understanding with that mind. And this is not something that we need, it's something that we should put to death. Huh? And the word shows us clearly, he's not arguing, and reasoning about doctrine and so forth, but living the word of God according to what God revealed to us. And it's so simple. So, put on a new man, which is renewing the knowledge after the image of him that created him. The pattern. The original pattern. And we as a pattern, that. And God, Christ, is God's ultimate intention. Now, I ask you three questions. Where do you stand? What are you looking at? And what you are, your inner being, what you are. Where do you stand? Today, in closing, where do you stand? If you don't stand in the Word of God, you have nothing. If you don't stand in the Word of God of the light for the hour, then we have nothing. What are you looking at? What are you looking at? Are you looking at the coming of the Lord? Are you looking for that Word which you have lived in to return, that to unite with you? That's what we are looking at. And do you know who you are? What are you? Your insight, the spiritual man, what are you? If you don't recognize you're a child of God, then you don't have a foundation, actually. Because to be a child of God, we need to have a starting point. We must be first in the womb of the Word. Huh? And that's the foundation. Who do you say are the Son of Man am? If you can say that He is Christ, the Son of the Living God. If you can know who He is to you. That's why we build that up. It is not about this message. Oh, God sent a prophet. That's wonderful. But that's not it. You know that? That's not it. Oh, I recognize the original sin. That's not it. I know that. Oh, but it's in Jesus' name. That's not it. Right? What it is the one man called Jesus Christ. And if you can look him face to face and know who he is, that's all that you need. He is the revelation of revelation. He is everything that you need. Because He is the Word of God made manifest. Alright? Quickly now, turn to these few verses. Romans 8, 32. Romans 8, 32. But He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? From that point on, that's why He unfolds revelation by revelation. Isn't it true? You see. Ephesians 1, verse 10. That in the dispensation of the fullness of time, He might gather together in Him, in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him. So everything must go back to Him. Don't just run around and say, oh, God said a prophet, I'm so glad, you know, that I've been baptized in Jesus' name. Yeah, I understand, verse 7 and see. That is not it. You can see all revelation, but if you don't have that relationship closely with that man, you don't know nothing. You just know all these things by intellectual reasoning. Don't you think so? Yes or not? Yes. Always put the horse before the cart, and you'll be right. The horse don't like pushing the cart. The horse pull the cart. Huh? So if we don't do that which is right, then we have nothing. We don't see the real thing at all. Then everything going to culminate in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 30. But of him ye are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. You know, that nothing can take that away, isn't it? Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus, who have blessed us with all. Or you still, you know, we always pray, Lord, give me this. Lord, provide me this. Lord, hey, He already provided you all things. And we all still, you know, sometimes you give a child something. Dad, give me this. He already gave it, He don't even recognize it. Isn't it? You know, children, we are all children of God. We should not be beggars. Father knows our need. Even we ask, before we ask Him, He knows our need. And He has provided, and He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings, not material things. Huh? Of course, you ask a material thing, God don't give it to you. Oh Lord, I want a Mercedes Benz. Wait. you know, a lot of, you know, in this a pagan religion, it is Shunism, pagan religion. When somebody dies, old poor family, they buy him a Mercedes Benz. Make a paper and burn it and send it to hell so he could drive the Mercedes-Benz in hell. Oh my. You know what I mean? But God give us all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. In heavenly places, not earthly places. Remember, you enter the realm beyond this dimension of the natural man. That's why with spiritual people, think spiritual things. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Isn't that right? So God will give us all things now. If you stand with God before the creation, what do you see? If you want to stand with God as God created the whole universe, what would you see? What do you see? What do you see? Do you see, oh, He created the star, oh, He created the angel, oh, He created the trees? No, what do you see? You want to see the end, what do you see? God's ultimate intention. Where Christ was the conception of you and me in the image of God. That's God. Christ Jesus is God's masterpiece that we all are patterned after. You understand that? So while we stand with God, as God created the universe, oh my, you should see Christ, the all in all. Then you know, who am I? The one from the beginning was already laid the foundation. The end is out, the Omega. Became the fullness of our faith. By following Him, believing Him, just all that. And you stand with God and see all that, how wonderful it is. Amen? We are created not to become something or somebody. We are created not to become something or somebody. Somebody great, somebody this and that. But we are created to contain something. And that something is someone. And that is Jesus Christ. We are a vessel. Isn't it right? Being created to contain. Nobody make a flower vase. Or a flower vase. As Americans use the word vase. which is supposed to be the right words to use, I think, not for our past, but we have been using an English term which sometimes sounds funny. A man created a flower vase, he just don't put nothing in it. A vase is to collect, put flower in it. Isn't that right? A wallet is made to contain something. Dollars and coins, credit cards and whatever cards. Huh? So the same thing, we are created. Not to be something or someone. Just to move around, that's it. No, to contain someone. And that someone is the Word of God. That's why if we receive the Word of God in our heart, the Spirit of Christ comes in and stays with us. And we begin to hear Him speak to us, move with us, guide us, show us, and all as He begins to work in our life. We do nothing. He just moves us. He shows us, we do, in obedience. Is that right? As the Word of God works in us, we affect not only our own life, but we affect the life of others. And that is God's intention of building the church into the one body. To come to that one foundation. To remember that foundation. Without that foundation, we have nothing. That foundation will come out to a beautiful holy city, New Jerusalem. Who will ultimately become the wife of the Lamb of God. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, and to Thy Word, and we know, Father, that You always feed Your people. We are no longer Lord sheep led astray, as we once was, Father. But that, Lord, You have called us into Thy light, into Thy truth. And we as Your sheep, Lord, You continue to feed us and work in our life, Father, that we come to that maturity. We need not be told to produce wool. As sheep, Lord, it is natural for us to just produce wool. And because when Your Word comes into us, it will work a work to bring forth the product. So Lord, as Your Word comes into our life, Father, work in us. Bring forth that which would naturally be brought forth. And spiritually, Lord, in our life will affect others, not just ourselves. We are here, Father, to bring forth that image, or to be likened, to come to that pattern of Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, Heavenly Father, we bless Your holy name. We are grateful for all that You have done for us now. We commit all things to You today in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Ask the question, who I am.
Hallelujah.
And Father, Lord, we thank You.
Thank You.
To give us that revelation. Amen. To know who Jesus really is. That in turn, Lord, we know who we are. And we thank You, Lord, for this precious revelation of truth.
Thank You, God.
We know that we are heading, O Father, for home, for eternity. To dismiss from here, may the angel of grace and mercy walk before us. And be with every one of us, Lord. As the Spirit of Jesus Christ overshadow us and be with us too. In the presence of God, our Savior. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, Father.